Go from there. It is a it's Metal Monday. And that's good, because my guest for you, this is Trevante Jaramillo. Today's guest, my very good friend, even though we haven't spoken in years. No big deal. I'm sure we'll pick up right where we left off. I'm here with Nathan Reiner, mastermind behind Third Realm and Sinister Device. How are you, my man?
Good. Yeah, God, man. It's been fucking way too long.
I'll tell you this. You know this, but you were probably one of the at least first 5 or 10 people that I ever thought of having on the podcast. And for obvious reasons, you know, like, we're buddies. But more than that, like, you've been a working musician for a long time. And, you know, back a couple years ago when I asked you, like, it seemed like things were really starting to kind of, you know, take off a little bit for you. I definitely want to ask you about that. I definitely want to reminisce about some bullshit, you know, from your Colorado time for sure. But what's been going on with you, man? It's been forever. It's got to be 5 years, if not a little more.
Yeah, it's been like, I think I left Colorado in 2008, I think. So yeah, it's been like fucking 5 years about.
It's crazy.
But yeah, just like pretty much a little bit more of the music aspect, obviously, when I got back to Buffalo. But other than that, just kind of like, you know, working on the side there and trying to stay out of trouble. That doesn't always work, but...
yeah, I mean, if you're going to have any kind of fun, some shit's probably going to go down. Talk about a little bit, like, you were out here basically like as a seasonal worker, is that right? Like, how did you come to Colorado?
When I first came, I think it was like 2002, I was supposed to only stay for the wintertime, and I ended up staying for like a year and a half because the hotel I was working for at the time, even though it was mainly seasonal, they were open all year. So I kind of just liked where I was working and the area, so I ended up staying. I went back to Buffalo for a little bit, but then just kept coming back every winter. And
what made you decide to come out here in the first place?
My friend Debbie was living out there, and she kind of just suggested, hey, like, why don't you try this seasonal job out here? It was just supposed to be this random thing, kind of just to visit and try it out. And then, you know, once I went, I was like, damn, this is way better than Buffalo.
What were you doing before that?
God, I'm pretty much the same I'm doing now. I was just working out here. Just at a, you know, not really doing, I was creating music, but I wasn't really doing any live shows or anything like that.
Okay.
But
I do think you were here for the first, like the creation of the first record, which is self-titled, right?
That was actually, I didn't have any self-titled ones. There was one EP, and then the first full-length was called Under the Black Light.
Under the Black Light, yeah. That's the one I meant. I feel kind of personally tied to that one, not because I had anything to do with it, but just because I knew you during, like, the final stages and actual, like, production of that coming out. And I was thinking about it today. It's kind of funny. I was digging around at work, and like, I have the actual, like, you gave me, you know, like a CD with a jewel case and the whole thing, which back then was like, not, you know, even 5 years ago was like, holy shit, you know, like, you have a CD, like, this is amazing. But not only that, yeah. I have like this bizarre, like, burn that you gave me. Like, you gave me like the, like a real copy. And then I have this weird burn of it that you just have written on it. Third Realm, and I think it says Under the Black Light under it. And if you ever get famous, I'm definitely gonna sell that shit, just so you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you gotta
real quick, I was just going to say, I posted on Facebook that you're here, and Mr. Psychotic, I don't know if you know Eric Smith from out here, but I just said, since I don't have a call-in number for the phone ones yet, I said, you know, hit us up here if you want to say hi or whatever. He comes in and he says, don't ask the size question, TJ. Everyone is larger than you. You're just going to have to accept that. Thank you again, Eric, for ruining another one of my shows, dick.
I just logged in and saw that, so.
What a piece of garbage. what was that like? Because I know you were out here, like, you know, you said you did the back and forth, but you pretty much, like, were creating music in the hotel room that you were living out of. Like, how hard was that? Was it weird?
It was really weird because, I mean, in fact, like, I think, like, two full albums in that same hotel room. And I just had my, like, main keyboard. It was kind of like, and I had MIDI capabilities, and I just had, and then my computer, and that was it. It was like, so it was, that was weird, too, just kind of limited in equipment, but then also, like, singing in there, too, and everything. And, but I mean, I never got any noise complaints or anything, so.
Did you ever feel like kind of a dick for, like, because I'm sitting here, like, let me set the scene, like, Respectable Sandwich Studios is my bedroom. You've been here a bunch of times hanging out after Bayou and all that kind of stuff. I do feel like a dick because I'm talking into a microphone, but if somebody was watching or listening, they would be like, what's he doing? Like, did you ever feel like a total shithead? Like where did you have your mic set up? Because I'm sure one area of the room is probably better than other things.
I kind of, like, didn't have, you know, I didn't have, like, a vocal booth or anything, like, special. It was just, when I recorded, it was just kind of, like, wide open. I didn't even have it, like, enclosed or anything. And, luckily at the time, which was weird, there wasn't really any, like, you know, like, background hiss or, I don't know why, I mean, I guess I just had a really good microphone at the time, but, I don't know how I did it, to be honest, because, like, it was so, like, it felt really rushed and, obviously, it wasn't the best recording atmosphere, but for some reason it worked out. And so, yeah, I don't know. It was really. We're looking back. I keep forgetting that's where I, you know, created it. Those first two albums, actually.
You've definitely come a long way from it, which I want to hear more about. But, like, what do you describe your style of music? Because, like, when I talk about you to friends and stuff like that, I'm like, yeah, you know. He's been doing this for a lot of years. I go, you know, think like Nine Inch Nails. That's the first band that I equate what you do to. Well, like, how do you feel about that? Like, what do you tell people you are?
That's an ongoing thing that I'm always trying to figure out myself because, like, Nine Inch Nails was probably the first band that inspired me to create music, and then some of my earlier albums kind of had that. Similar sound, like, I guess, like, you can say, like, industrial sound, but now it's not really like that anymore. It's kind of a little bit like a mixture of dark wave and electro. So, like, when I'm talking to some people that don't know bands like, you know, The Cure or Sisters of Mercy and, you know, some of those old bands, like, to the general public, I have to say, yeah, like, Nine Inch Nails or industrial, but it's really not like that, really, anymore, anyway. So, I mean, I guess it would be a weird mixture of alternative, dance, dark wave, electro, something like that.
Right. This is a weird question because you've been at it for so long, but, like, what was, like, what drove you to do this, and, like, where did your writing process, like, originate? Meaning, like, it's definitely, like, dark themes, you know? But even in the end, there's some songs that are sort of slanted positively. Positively? Why did I say it like that? Positively. Sorry. like, do you remember, like, when you were first thinking about, like, oh, I'm going to make some music, like, what was, like, in you that actually drove you to do it?
I think think the original inspiration or motivation, I guess, either way, it was kind of just like something to do at the time, or a way to kind of express feelings, I guess, you know, and rather than writing in a journal, I created music. I guess that was the first real motivation, just to kind of, I don't know, somehow express certain feelings at the time. And, I mean, you know, and of course having an interest in music and messing around with electronics and stuff like that, so...
Not to, you know, break this down all crazy or anything like that, but, like, what... You said like, feelings at the time, like, what was happening?
I mean, the original, when I first started, it definitely was, you know, kind of like battling depression and feelings like that. And it was definitely more of a darker emotion, I guess, when I first started. And even though there's still that aspect in it, like you said, there's a little bit more of a,
like to me, some of the stuff is like, it's obviously dark and, you know, it is what it is, but like, I'll be honest, like the last few records I haven't even touched, you know, I, when you post a song on Facebook, I'll check it out and all that kind of stuff, but I don't know the lyrics and all that. But to me, you've always seemed like a bit of like a light at the end of the tunnel kind of guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, like the past two really have been, well, the last one mainly has been a lot more positive, I guess you can say, or hopeful. Maybe just more, like, mature in a way, just kind of looking at things in a broader aspect instead of just kind of being angry about something, you know, expressing it with a little bit more insight. So,
what was upsetting you at the beginning? Like, the only reason I'm asking you this stuff is, like, you know, we're friends and all that kind of stuff, but telling you, man, like, I don't think you've listened to much of my show, but a lot of people struggle with this stuff, and if there's, like, any little, you know, ray of light coming through the wall, through the rubble, you know, that they can relate to, it helps, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of weird because it feels like it was so long ago that... you almost forget sometimes, you know, like the specifics, but I mean, some of it was, you could say, general, you know, there wasn't like a major life event.
Or was it just like, it was just like kind acceptance of, kind of stuff, like school, and now you're like, you know, becoming like, well, you're being made to be an adult and just all that kind of stuff that comes with that, or?
That could be, you know, that could have been in there too. I guess it could have been slanted a little bit more towards, like, feeling like a unexplainable, I guess, I don't know, there's many, many things, like, you feel kind of like as an outcast, or have just this real dark cloud over you kind of feeling.
Okay.
And I guess that's how I expressed it, just kind of like, not even knowing what it was myself at the time. You know, there's like confusion and like I said, depression. And then you kind of just, you try to make something out of it or express it in ways artistically or whatever.
Did it help?
Oh, yeah. I mean, definitely. I think that's why I have so many albums now, because it's kind of just like a, you know, it's like a form of therapy, like to create and to listen to music at the same time, so...
Sure.
Yeah, that definitely, definitely helps.
I'll tell you this, man, like, we've talked on and off over the years, obviously, we've kept in contact and all that kind of stuff, but this, for me, is the same way. Like, I was thinking about, obviously, a couple days ago, we had another, you know, luckily it wasn't too horrible of a shooting in Colorado, and... Last year when the Sandy Hook thing went down, I was at work, and like, you know, a lot of the females that I work with have kids, and like the attitude and the way that they just, how they were reacting to life at that second was so, it was so palpable and so like thick in the air, like how distressed they felt about it, even though it was, you know, across the country where it happened. And
yeah,
I start looking on Facebook and, you know, some of my friends, you know, obviously, or some of the people that I'm connected online with, you know, right away they start with the whole gun debate and, you know, the mental health stuff. And I initially started engaging in their conversations, and I was like getting pissed off. I'm like, why am I talking about this? Like, these people are, they don't have kids. They're assholes. They don't know what they're talking about. I'm sitting in a building with, you know, 8 moms who are like, they can't even focus because all they want to do is go get their kids and go home, you know? And,
mm-hmm.
you know, years ago there would have been no way for me to kind of let that anger, like not the anger about like what happened necessarily or the sadness for the moms, but just the anger of like the knee jerk reaction of people that I'm around to, you know, they shouldn't even be, they shouldn't even be part of the conversation, but they're weighing in. I was like, what the fuck? Like, fuck off. You shouldn't even be talking about, you know, it was just this whole thing that happened that day. And to be able to come home, I came home for lunch and I just sat and just, you know, spewed for 15 minutes and I posted it, and like, I felt better when I went to work. And I know that's ridiculous, like, but I mean, people got to have something, you know? And
Definitely.
I hear what you're saying about having the outlet and having, you know, a voice to kind of get that shit out of you. Cause, you know, there's a reason that there's school shootings. You know, there's a person that has some shit that needs to get out, and there's no way to get it out. And that's what they go to, you know?
Yeah, I think that's definitely where the problem originates, is because the people that do that, they must feel like they don't have an outlet, or they, you know, they're holding something in, like you said. I mean, just even if they just like write it down or something, or it doesn't have to be presented on a main stage or anything like that. But yes, I think I would definitely encourage anyone to just, whether you're just talking to someone or, like I said, like writing it down, or even if you can't paint or sing or anything, just get it out of there.
Yeah, and, agreed.
I think that would definitely.
Not okay. I'm gonna ask you one last question about this, because I don't want to dwell on why you were in bad shape and why your music was born of that. Were other outlets like presenting themselves besides music that were worrying you? Meaning, like, if you didn't have ability to write songs and do stuff, like, would it have been a problem?
Let's see. You know, I think at the time, what helped, which sounds weird, which is completely doesn't go along with the rock star get up or whatever you want to say. But I used to run a lot, like races, like, you know, like 3-mile races, 5Ks and stuff. And that actually helped almost more than music, which was weird. Well, it's not really weird. It's. I mean, obviously working out and stuff like that gives, you know, endorphins and everything, and you feel good. So oddly enough, like I used to be, even when I was in Colorado, actually, I was like really running like half marathons, and that was actually almost a major part of feeling better.
I guess more what I was getting at was like, that's a good point. But more what I was getting at was there negative outlets presenting themselves that you were like, I got to find something else?
Oh, okay. Yes, what you mean. Not really at the, not right off the bat. I think, you know, like when I was around 22 or so, then I kind of started, you know, drinking a little bit more, or at all. Actually, I didn't even start drinking until I was like 21, so.
Me too.
But that kind of actually made things worse, obviously. You know, it feels at the time like an escape.
Sure.
But then it definitely creates a downward spiral. You know, you kind of just get into this routine where it feels like you're escaping something, but you're only masking it, you know?
Yeah. And, well, I mean, we all know, you know, alcohol's a downer, and if you're, you know, using it to kind of squash depressed feelings, like, you're going to feel worse, you know, incrementally exactly. worse in the next day or two, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know if I told you this. I have told it on the podcast, but you were around for like the tail end, or no, your stint in Colorado, the tail end of it was during that whole arrest thing that happened with me. And that fucking, I've never had like an anxiety problem. Like, no, I think I had an anxiety problem, but it was one of those things where, like, you know, we were probably old enough where we remember a time when not everyone was depressed and not everyone had anxiety, and they wore it as a, like, a badge of honor almost, you know? I feel a lot of people do that now, but there was like a 2-week period where, you know, this 800-pound gorilla in the room was me going to prison maybe. And I didn't know how to handle it. I was like, it's going to be fine. I didn't, you know, I'm not a drug dealer. I'm not in a gang. This is going to work out. And then, you know, 10 months down the road, it's still not really working out. And then all of a sudden it like collapses on you. And I had like this, like I had like a 2-week long anxiety attack where like I was walking up to my house and I'm like, you know, this yard looks familiar, but I don't know who lives here, you know? And then I'd get up to my door and I'm like, I don't know whose drums those are. That's weird. I wonder how they got here. Like, I didn't know any of my surroundings. Like, it was hardcore to me. Like, for somebody that's never had like a real reaction to that stuff. And it just like,
yeah,
it came down on me hard. And like, it was super bizarre. I didn't know how to handle it. And of course, the only thing I could think of was alcohol. And dude, it was so much worse. Holy shit. Like, let's say 3 or 4 days in, I would just get like fucking blasted on whiskey, right? And I'm like,
yeah.
In the moment, I'm like, okay, you know, it's not so bad right now. But then I would pass out or whatever, go to bed, and 2 hours later I'd wake up and I'd be like, there's a nuclear bomb about to drop on the house. Like, that's how bad the anxiety was after that. And
yeah,
it's amazing how much worse the substance can make it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I mean, cause initially, you know, it obviously takes it away and then it kind of multiplies it afterwards.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That was pretty weird. Like, and, now that you have a phone, we'll talk more about what happened. Cause I know, you probably heard most of it. It's a weird story. But
there, I was there for, I think, well, obviously when it started, I was still there. I think I left a few months after, so I don't think there was any like final verdict or anything like that, but
right.
Yeah, things were getting weird at the time. It's funny that you bring that up because there was this weird thing happening at the hotel I was working at. There was people, I don't know, everyone was kind of going crazy, like, in the valley at the time, it seemed.
And well, I feel like the tentacles of the local agency were getting everywhere and was, like, freaking people out, you know? I don't know. It's a weird time. Like, I want to delve into that so bad on here. But it's scary because like their end of it, like, I don't know what they would do if someone like really spoke out against it. And I want to, but it's touchy and weird, so I don't know. But all right. Sorry, we got a little deep. Sorry. I didn't mean to get all sad on you. So you leave here. And I mean, pretty immediately you started, I mean, you really started putting the work in. Like, what's been going on?
Yeah, I think when I left the Snowmass area, I think I got, I can never remember. That's how ridiculous it was. But I'm pretty sure I went to Denver, actually, just for, like, maybe even just, like, 2 months. And then I went back to Buffalo. But, yeah, I mean, pretty much it was, like, really heavily into music after that, mainly performing live, which has been really cool, really fun. Mainly on the East Coast. We've done some shows in Pennsylvania, and actually that's it, Pennsylvania and New York for now. But
how does your live live thing work? Because, like, it's just you. It's like you're like the Trent Reznor of your deal. Like, when you play live, like, how does that actually play out?
We try to create parts that aren't a part of the recordings. So, like, the guitarist will come in and say, oh, you know, this sounds cool, you know, on top of it. And then the same with the live keyboardist. So everything live actually...
Do you have a whole band? So,
yeah, like, now, like, my brother plays drums. And, like, we obviously have, like, a little bit of the backing for the electronic stuff. And then my brother plays live drums. We have a live guitarist and a live keyboardist. So everything live is always different than how it sounds on the CD. So it's kind of a cool little twist.
Yeah, that's cool. What's your fan base like? And I ask that because I want to get into, like, how... I mean, you have a pretty solid section of, like, underground media that, like, totally embraces what you do. Like, what are your fans like?
It's weird because it seems that I've never seen, like, specific numbers or anything like that, but it seems that most of the fans are actually are out of the United States. You know, it's like there's a huge European following, actually.
Oh, dude, I'm huge in Baghdad. I don't know if you knew that, but...
According to Eric, you're still small there, but... I mean...
Nice. Good for you. Now, like... Is that weird? Like, actually, like, to be honest, my biggest fan is from Scotland. And to me, that's the coolest thing ever, you know?
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's just weird. I mean, I have no idea... I mean, that could have been because,
sorry,
you know, the main, when I first started making music, I guess it was, well, obviously promoted heavily online, which is why, you know, just anyone can find it. But I have no idea how so many people just, you know, I started getting messages from people from Russia or just, it's just weird, you know, and awesome at the same time. So, yeah, but it seems very... Like, locally, actually, I grew up in Buffalo, and I really don't have a big following here.
Really?
No, I mean, like, when I have concerts here, it's not, like, a huge deal. I mean, we actually usually open up for bands, and it's not really a big thing out here.
Have you opened for anybody, like you were like, holy shit?
Probably the biggest one would be... just recently we played with Cyclone 9 and Dawn of Ashes.
Oh, no shit. They were just out here.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like me some Cyclone 9. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. They were pretty brutal. I mean, they're definitely more metal now these days. They're really hardcore. So they were cool. Nothing really too huge yet. Hopefully we'll open up for Nine Inch Nails before Trent Reznor 60.
Yeah, it'll be like the farewell tour. They're like, look, yeah. I have colon cancer. We got to get this in, make some money. I think one of the things that I've always wondered about, and you and I have talked about this a tiny bit, but I mean, I'm new to the whole, like, you know, trying to be a product and a personality type of game, you know, but I remember pretty early on that you got picked up by, like, Vampire Freaks and, like, a bunch of, like, not strange, but a lot of underground outlets. Like, that's pretty huge for you, right? Like, how did all that happen?
I think that, I mean, yeah, it's like you said, I mean, some people do try to adhere to a certain image, and I never really tried to. I mean, I think initially, obviously, it was the music was like that, though. It was and it still is underground sounding. And then when you inject your personal views or interest in a certain culture, I mean, I guess I would have to say that I am interested in that culture as well. So it kind of just worked. I mean, it wouldn't really, it doesn't feel out of place. So for like you said, yeah, for, you know, Vampire Freaks or Color Music Magazine or just all these publications and websites that kind of promote the underground or the subculture of, you know, maybe gothic culture, I guess you can say, or it's, I don't know, it's just been really cool because
are you comfortable with it? Like, does any of it make you feel weird? But, like,
no, because I mean that's kind of the style I'm into anyway. It's not anything that I have to, you know, I don't have to research about it or feel like an outcast or that I'm trying to fit in. And it's just kind of like how I am anyway.
Sure.
These days I don't really, like, that's the thing. That's another subject that you could talk about forever, is like I don't consider my music to be gothic. And I mean, in terms of the philosophy of that, I kind of feel like I am that inside, but it's not like, oh, well, now I have to wear eyeliner every day. And
right.
But no, it's definitely goes hand in hand. I mean, that's the music and what I believe in, and it all works. So it doesn't feel weird.
What's the most surprising outlet that maybe reviewed or approached you for an interview or something like that? Besides me, obviously.
Let's see. It really hasn't been. God, I don't think there has been one that has been outside of anything. You know, there hasn't been anything too mainstream that would be like, oh, wow, this is weird. Or
even darker than where you kind of idle at, like something really kind of down the rabbit hole. Anything like that, or?
No, nothing too shocking or surprising. Like,
well,
oh my God.
Just fuck me then. All right, Jesus.
Yeah, I know. There was nothing too weird there.
This is a weird thing, but has anybody ever told you that your music is very instrumental in intimacy?
What was the last word?
Intimacy.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, in fact,
really?
Just got done. Yeah, in fact, a lot of people say that. Someone actually literally just wrote me earlier today and said something about a new song I made, or from the new album. In fact, let me see if I can find it really quick without stalling for 20 minutes.
find it. No paraphrasing. Yeah, let's hear the shit. We got time.
It was just like a really quick sentence. It wasn't like a huge paragraph or anything, but let's see here. No, but I've heard that a lot. In fact, I mean, I remember you telling me that initially, like it was Under the Black Light.
It was, yeah, it was very early on. It was the first one. I'm not going to say who, because it wasn't only one person, but there's a few people I've popped on a little third realm. What's the album with the, like, mainly black and purple cover?
New World Order.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Under the Black Light, New World Order. I've gotten it in to those records.
Oh man, let's see. Where is it? Oh, okay. Okay, so they said, and this person lives in Russia too, so that was extra cool. But
whoa, shit.
Yeah, so they would.
I would
really,
like to tell you that I'm very into your music. Me and my woman, we enjoy. We enjoy turning it on and having the sexy time. I don't know if that's Russian. It doesn't seem to sound like that in my head.
It sounded almost like you were from India, but
right, yeah.
Well,
yeah, I mix things up. I suck.
I should be able to. I can't do the accent really, but well, now they're drinking vodka and listening to Third Realm, so that's really awesome. But
right now,
he said no. Let's see. This was like, this was like 6 hours ago. But I should have said yes. I love the new album. It's perfect for making love. There. See, it wasn't interesting.
Wow.
It wasn't like this huge.
I love new album. It is perfect for making love. I don't know what the fucking accent is.
I could have just made that up. Like, oh, let me log in and
let me do it as Bane. Let me do it as Bane for Rob.
Yes. The new album is perfect for making love, Gish.
Oh, man. But then somebody said, let's see. Yeah, I mean, it's just funny. Well, I mean, I can see why. I mean, it's got the, you know, it's got a driving beat. So if you're in the action of, you know, performing certain acts. You
know, all right. Hang on for me a second. I think I'm gonna put a break here. You cool with that?
Yeah, no problem.
All right. And when I come back, we will talk two, maybe three last things. All right. Hang on for me.
Sounds good.
All right, we're back. It got a little weird in the first 40 minutes, and I apologize for that, but I want to have a nice little happy upswing and then maybe convince Nathan to come back and do this again. Bayou Memories. You might have to fill me in here a little bit, bro, because I remember some stuff, but like you and I were kind of a problem when we would go out.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember where we even met? Was it at Bayou? Is that how we met?
Let's see here. It actually was, wait a minute. Fuck, what's the other karaoke place? The other karaoke place in Glenwood. There's no other place.
Might have been Docks at the time?
Yes, it was. I remember you were singing Metallica.
Yeah, and, that's my go-to.
Yeah, and it was funny. I think it was Fuel. It was Fuel. I remember the exact song.
Give me that which I desire.
There you go.
Sorry.
Exactly. And I remember seeing, you know, the classic TJ get up. You're in like a suit, and all of a sudden I hear Metallica coming out. I'm like, what? And then you destroyed it. I was like, yes. That was it. Once you sang that song, I was like, this guy's got to be my friend.
I know that, you know, quickly after hanging out, meeting and all that kind of stuff, like we started being like, hey, you coming down? Cause like, you know, Snowmass to Glenwood is not a short trip, but
yeah,
it is
like
one of those 45
minutes or something.
Yeah, but it's one of those things where it's like, hey, man, you coming down? Like, if you ain't coming down, I still would go, but I'd be all upset about it. I know we can't burn too much on here, but like, well, we can burn as much as you want, but we would go and like, I mean, obviously the object was to go drink, hang out, sing some songs.
Yeah.
But then, you know, there was always this like underlying, well, like what's going on? Like, what do you got? You know? And we never had like a real plan, but we were always trying to, you know, either have an after party or it was kind of sad.
It became a pretty, it became a routine, and it was pretty destructive and then looking back at it.
Oh dude, I feel awful about a bunch of the stuff. I have a couple memories that I feel really embarrassed to even talk about as far as like, you know, people that did come and hang out with us.
Yeah.
Like, do you remember anything about that?
It's hard to say. I mean, was this just like an after party at your place, obviously, or?
Well, like one thing I remember, and I won't say her who it is because she's a friend, but you were kind of involved with somebody, and I was like, oh my god, like you're involved with her? That's amazing. And there was a part where, like, if I remember right, it was like kind of breaking down, and that's kind of what started you and me trying to work together, even though you did fine on your own. You didn't need me. but we, like, you were a trooper in, like, letting me play the game, and I was probably the one that ruined it. Does that sound familiar? I don't know.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, now I know what's going on. Yep.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
we're all like, remember that? Yeah. Remember that other thing? Uh-huh.
Oh, shit, and then followed by, like, 3 seconds of awkward silence. yeah, I mean, where did you want to go with this? Because, I mean, I don't think it really, I think it, like, ended, like, naturally. I don't think it even got to a point where it got too weird or...
No, it was just, like I remember there was a couple times where, like, there were people that should never have been around us, and not to sound so shitty, but like, I mean, Oh, real quick. Do you remember Rachel? Tall blonde?
Yeah. She was actually on the show like a few months back, right?
It was like a year ago, but yeah. She just says, tell him hi. So Rachel says hi.
Cool.
You were never really like a big alcohol guy at the bar, right? Like, you'd have a couple beers, but, like, you were never like, let's get shitty and whatever. And you would drive a lot because you had to get back.
Yep.
Yeah, man.
I mean, there was just a lot of... On a brighter side.
Did you know that... I was going to ask you if you remembered... I can't remember her name, but... There was a girl that... I think she worked up Valley... And she had kind of, like, short red hair. She was older.
Let's see here.
Like, every time we would go out, she'd be out. And she was always wearing, like, a black button-up shirt with black slacks. I don't really know how else to describe her, because I don't remember. Like, her face was kind of plain. Like,
oh! Did you say, like, short red hair?
Yeah.
Lisa? I think her name was Lisa.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, I don't know how I remember that, but yeah, I think that's, yeah, I'm pretty sure that's the one.
Yeah,
kind of tall, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you're short, so she was tall, so.
Yeah. Everyone's taller than me, yeah. Yeah, I remember her.
She's dead. Do you know that?
No, really?
Yeah. I want to say it's been a couple of years now, but some kind of overdose of some kind or something. It's alarming how many, I was going to say it's funny, that was fucked up, but it's alarming how many people that we were hanging around the bayou with are now dead.
Yeah, I can imagine. I mean, really, I mean, it's just at the time, you know, when we were partying like that, God, it's like, shit.
But yeah, like that was one of the things where, like, I mean, you've been gone for years. I had been, you know, in the party scene here, which is there's no scene. There's three bars. You know, you go around, you say hi to everybody. But if you're really into it, like, you're doing that every night. And that's where I was at, you know? And then when shit like that starts going down, it's like, you know what? Maybe you should kind of pull back, you know?
Definitely. I mean, it was, yeah.
Crazy times.
I remember there was times where, like, because, you know, it started off where I would come down like once a week, twice a week, and then it started to be like where I would come down and hang out with you like right before work, and it was starting to be like, holy shit, like, you know, it's getting crazy.
It was a bit toxic. It was hard not to fall into, you know.
Yeah.
Do you remember the Spring Valley gas station incident?
I don't think so. It doesn't ring a bell.
Oh, okay.
Maybe.
No, maybe, no. What? Only you. Nobody else.
Oh, me. Oh, just me.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I do. I remember thinking I was exiting or pulling out of the gas station. And before I knew it, there was a little small cliff I was going down.
But that was after a Bayou night, so like you were probably a little buzzed. And there was that little weird drop off right there, and you're like, ah, I'm gonna go. And like you have a Ford Focus or something like that.
Yeah, and I was a little bit more than a little buzzed, and then after that, I ended up on the wrong side of the highway.
Oh, shit. Really?
So I'm like, yeah, and then, like, someone, like, you know, I see this car approaching me, beeping, and I'm like, oh, shit. And, yeah, so, dude, I got home that night.
God damn. Oh, man.
That was probably the worst. That was the worst in terms of driving like that. That was pretty scary.
Yeah.
I was like, what the fuck?
All right, no more terrible Bayou stories.
I have one more funny story.
All
right. One of your after parties. Rob was over, and he just like randomly fell over from being drunk, and then I was like, oh man, do you remember that? He just like is in your living room, and he just goes boom, he just falls down.
I forgot you were here for that. Like he was like, I gotta piss. And he like his mind was walking, but his body wasn't, and he just fucking went down like about a foot short of a coffee table. Which you don't know this, but only a few months later, I went through that coffee table, and I have a scar on my arm to prove it because I was a drunk shithead.
Oh shit! God damn. Oh my god! But yeah, I think it was that same night where I also said that I can tackle you, Robin, and I tried and he flipped me in the snow or something. It was like the funniest thing. So I go to work the next day with this like gash on my forehead.
Oh, that's right. No, yeah, it was wintertime, and you went to tackle him, and he basically like grabbed you in like a DDT position, and just like dropped you. But it wasn't fresh snow; it was all like crusty on the top. So like when he fell, like you knocked him back, but he took your momentum and just like smashed your head. And, yeah, you were bleeding. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Holy shit. We're fucking dicks. God.
Oh man, that was a funny night though. But
all right, I have one last question, and then I want you to plug your shit. And then when we're done here, I want to talk just you and me a little bit more before we go. If you like, the music is going well. You know, you got live shows that are people are coming to see. If you could pick your live band out of anybody, alive or dead, famous, whatever, who would you like? Who's your super group for Third Realm?
Oh man, that'd be tough. Let's see.
Me on drums, of course, but whatever.
definitely.
Yeah, I'm amazing.
Actually, you know what? I remember the times when we would like. You would be playing drums. I didn't even have like a microphone or anything. I'd be sitting there like, we'd be doing like fucking Metallica or Korn. You'd be doing it on the drums, and I'm just like singing along.
Yeah.
And I hear myself. I'm like, yeah. But, shit. You know, that's really a really tough question.
Come on.
I would probably honestly.
Don't worry about being thirsty here. Like, whoever you think, like, bring them in. You know.
That's what I mean. Like, I'm not like, I wouldn't even be like, oh, well, I'm going to take this guitarist from the 60s and the bassist from the, honestly, I would just probably, like, Nine Inch Nails live band, like, right there. I mean, maybe fucking Twiggy, who, used to play with, well, now plays in Aerodance now.
There you go.
But I don't know. I mean, fucking Chris Renna, I mean, he could play drums and keyboards.
Yeah.
Probably have Trent Reznor back there, so that's pretty much it. That's all I need. And then with TJ filling in on drums every once in a while.
All right. This is fueled by Metallica.
Yeah, nothing too profound or rich history, you know, guitarists from the 50s or anything filling in, but maybe resurrect Elvis just to sing a few parts. I don't know.
All right. Sounds good, man. What's going on now? Like, there's a new record right now, right?
Yeah. Just came out last month, actually. That one's called Daydreams and Nightmares, which is kind of the theme of all my albums, technically. Like, there's this bright, hopeful side, and then there's the crazy, dark side. So, but it doesn't really apply sound-wise, and the newest album is kind of probably the lightest album, you could say.
Really?
It's not heavy. It's not. There's no heavy tracks, really, I guess you could say. It's not aggressive, but there's definitely some dark elements. But some of the past albums had some aggressive songs, but not on this new one.
For the listeners that are hanging out with us right now, like, well, when they hear this, like, why would they pick this one up? I'm going to promote the shit out of you because, I'm so happy you finally did this. why would they go check this one out?
Well, because if they are ever having an after party at TJ's house, then all they have to do is put that music on and you'll end up in the bedroom right away.
Asshole.
So. No, but I mean, if you're into the bands that we've been talking about, not really Nine Inch Nails, because the new album doesn't really sound like that, but if you're into this, like, kind of alternative dance, like dark electro. I mean, it's really hard to explain if someone's not into.
So, are you
style,
trying to play into the EDM movement right now a little bit?
Yeah, it's a little.
All
bit.
Right, you fucking sell out. This is worse than when you cut your hair, Dick. No, I'm kidding.
No, not like the mainstream like dubstep or anything like that, but it's songs that you would, like, if you heard, like, the Patch Mode, except a little bit darker than that.
All right.
Not as gay.
Well,
Not that professional is gay or anything, but, no, I like the Patch Mode.
Jesus. funny.
I'm horrible at promoting myself. I don't have
clearly
anything good to say about it.
That's fine.
No.
No,
well, if you like something that's not mainstream but still has a beat and something that can be a little bit moody at times but also uplifting, which sounded super gay, but once
Jesus.
Again,
all right,
like I said,
yeah. So everybody, don't buy Daydreams and Nightmares because it's fucking super gay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nah.
From that.
I'll try to help you out as much as I can. Dude, you were awesome. So go to facebook.com/Third Realm, yeah?
Yep.
And then iTunes, you can also find Third Realm. By, like, how many albums do you have altogether? Six, seven?
Let's see. God, I forgot. It's like six full-length albums and like one EP. So.
Okay. Like go check it out, because if anything, it's baby making music and everybody needs that. So
definitely that's the main selling point right there. I mean, because TJ has stories. I mean, if it's good enough for him, if it's good enough for TJ to play while he's, you know,
hell yeah,
yeah, while he's in there.
You're such a dick. Are you on Twitter at all? Or any other outlets where anybody else can find you?
Yeah, I think I don't really go on Twitter a lot, but I do have... It's the Twitter link is... It's instead of spelled out, it's like 3RD Realm, Third Realm. With a
oh, that's
three.
Smart. Yeah, 3RD. Yeah, perfect. Way to go. Maybe... Do you have a lot of followers?
Let's see.
Because if not, you should probably start over and just make it Third Realm.
I think someone has the third room. That's
What the fuck?
That's probably why I did. I didn't want
to. Hey, like, Bob in Kentucky, get off of the fucking third realm name.
Exactly.
Asshole.
Who the hell has the name? No, pretty much everywhere. You know, Facebook, where the fuck else? YouTube, which is also. Well, you could just like search for third realm on YouTube.
All right, yeah. Google search third realm and find my man, Nathan Reiner. Hey, man. You were great. Hang on the phone for me a little bit. Go from there.podbean.com, audioboo.fm/go from there. No, shit. Scratch that. audioboo.fm/channels/go from there. That's more more mobile friendly than the go from there thing. But they're working on it, so stay posted, stay into it. I'm trying for you people. Thank you, brother. I appreciate it. Hang on for me, all right?
All right, man. Thanks a lot.
Open door so I walk inside. Close my eyes, find my face to hide.